Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Savior. Father, we thank you too for so great a salvation that we can have, and we do have in Him, Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Father, we thank you for all who are here on this very special Resurrection Sunday. Lord, we know that every one of us are here by your divine appointment, and you have something special for each and every one of us because of Christ, your Son, and what this day represents in the work and plan of your redemption. Father, right now, as we stand before you, we pray that if there be any man or woman or boy or girl who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Lord, that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that they know him and the power of his resurrection. But Lord, we ask this in your name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I want to invite you to turn with me for the scripture reading. And I'm going to invite you to turn to John chapter 11, 17 through 27. Wait a second, Bill, that happened a couple weeks before the death and resurrection. Yeah, you're right. You really know your Bible. That's great. But we have the resurrection story right there in a capsule form. But more importantly, in this capsule form of the resurrection story, we have indeed the profound declaration of Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he's doing in the world today. So follow with me, just a little bit of a background. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and they were very close friends to Jesus and his disciples. It wasn't unusual when Jesus and the disciples would make their way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover or various other celebrated days, feast days that required all males of the nation of Israel to be there. So they were there on a regular basis. Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly for you and for me in every way. So they knew Jesus very well. They knew his disciples. And oftentimes there in Bethany that Jesus and the disciples would stay there. So one time, Jesus got word. And they were quite a distance from Bethany. And the word was that Lazarus was dying. Jesus' purpose is to stay a little longer where they were. I'm sure that that probably disturbed the disciples. But then they left. Lazarus had died. The whole house was filled with mourners. Lazarus was already in the tomb. By now, the fourth day in the tomb. And in that hot, so severely hot climate, of course, the tomb was sealed because of the stench of death. Jesus came in together with the disciples, and Mary and Martha greeted him. I want to take you to just a little section of this incident in John chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. We can hear the heart's cry of Lazarus' sisters, but we can also hear the response, the heart, the life response of Jesus Christ to a family that knew and experienced the death of a loved one. You and I can relate to that, can't we? The death of a loved one? Family member? Close friend? Just these past 4 days, two very close friends of Diane and myself went home to Florida. One was a single gal we met in County Mountain, Alice Shelley. Went home to the Lord yesterday. And Noah Christensen, our daughter's father-in-law, went home to the Lord 2 days ago. But we've all been touched by death, haven't we? And we're all very much aware that we're all going to be touched by death personally. I mean, personally. Well, let's get into the story, okay? This is in John chapter 11, and we're looking at verses 17 through 27. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on that last day." And Jesus said to her, are you all there at that passage? Verses 25 and 26. I want you to try to memorize these verses. If you have your own Bible, mark it down. If you don't, mark these two verses in your bulletin today. Jesus said to her, "I am one of the 7 I Ams in the Gospel of John." Christ clearly declaring that he is indeed the eternal God. He's the very Son of God, fully God, and in his incarnation, fully man. "I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." "Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Today, we've come to the triumphal conclusion. Without a doubt, one of the greatest weeks in the history of humanity. I don't mean literally this week right now that you and I are living in, but this week that you and I are living in that represents and we reflect back on the Passion Week of Christ. Beginning with this triumphal entry into the city, and yet many to rejoice later on rejected. You know the story. Then, of course, Good Friday. And some people say, "Bill, what was so good about Good Friday?" Because that's when Jesus was betrayed. He was arrested, he was beaten, he was scourged, he was mocked, he was spit upon. What was so good about Good Friday? And then to top it off, he was crucified. What's so good about Good Friday? Well, because of the plan that was being fulfilled and unfolded, Jesus had to die. In fact, he told his disciples that he was going to Jerusalem to do just that, didn't he? "I'm going to die, and then on the third day I will rise again." So Jesus knew the plan because he had made the plan. So yes, Good Friday is good because of you and I, as sinners, have a Savior who paid the price of our sins. The truth that sacrifice, that price that was paid, was fully accepted, was in the fact that Jesus Christ rose again. So yes, this week that we celebrate the Passion of Christ, and today that the triumph of his resurrection truly does represent the greatest week in human history because of the fulfilled plan of redemption that God, your Creator, my Creator, is half for each and every one of us in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
I sure am. Think of where you would be in eternity to come without Jesus Christ. Let's come back, if you will, to this passage. Let me try to put it in a more personalized setting. Because I think the Word of God wants to be personal, don't you? It really does. It wants to be personally involved in our lives and our thought processes and how we understand God and how we understand how God is working in the world to redeem us and to understand what that redemption is all about. So let me try to put this in a personal context for you and for me. If God were to tell you today that today would be your last day here on earth. Now that's not unusual, and that's not beyond the possibility, because he did tell a number of people, like Hezekiah, get your house in order, but today is your day, you're going to die. What if God was telling you today that today would be your last day here on earth? What would be some of the things that you would try to get in order? Things in your life that you would want to get in order. If you knew that today was the very last day that you had here on earth. Probably not funeral arrangements at that time. Probably not writing out your last will and testimony. Would you fear? Would you flee? Would you hide? Where would you go? Again, as I say, you know, death is nothing unusual for any one of us. Every one of us are going to be touched by death. Here, in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, we have that profound declaration, I am the resurrection of the life. Now Jesus, and only Jesus, can say that. Do you realize that in all the religions in this world, and there are many, I mean, they just keep springing up like rabbits, don't they? Cults and everything else, right? But you know something? Christianity, it's not a religion. It's a relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Yes, you may call it a religion. Others do. But compared to all the cults and occults and all the religions in the world, Christianity is the only one that has a leader that they honor and exalt and worship, who died for your sins, your sins, my sins, and rose again, triumphant for the grave. No other religion in all of this world, no other religion in all the history of mankind. Why? Because Jesus is the living Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. And that's you and I. He gave his life as a ransom for many. And that's you and I. No other religion in all the world, in all the history of man, has that core of faith and trust. Do you have that faith? Do you have that trust? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus told us about that in John chapter 14. We saw that on a Good Friday evening. That was made possible and is made possible today because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take a look at these two verses. Sometimes people, they read these verses and they say, Bill, what's he saying? Is he double talking here or what? No, Jesus never double talks. You and I do. You and I do. We tell people what we think they want to hear. We all do it. We try not to. But Jesus will never tell you what you want to hear, but he'll always tell us what we need. I am the resurrection of life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Then picks it up in verse 26. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What's the Lord talking about this? Even though he dies, yet shall he live, and shall never die. How do you get that those two to balance out? How do you get those two to come together? But they can only come together in Jesus Christ. I believe what he's talking about here is two deaths. The physical death that you and I all will face. And then the second death. We'll get to those shortly, but let's take a look, if you will. If you would turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Where Christ is talking about the physical death, where he says, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all, what? All sin. He's talking about, most initially, about the physical death. You see, when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, it wasn't the fruit that killed them. It was a disobedience. It was a sin that entered into their hearts. And so Romans 5:12 is saying that sin that entered into the heart of Adam and Eve out of disobeying God came upon all of us and affects all of us. What is the consequence? What is the outcome of sin? Death. And Hebrews chapter, why don't you turn there? Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. 14 through 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Something you and I need to know about death, certainly the physical death that we all face, none of us can run and hide from it. It's already begun in every one of us. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, meaning Christ in this context, Christ himself likewise partook of the same thing, that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. That death that came into Adam and Eve's life, and all the generations that followed, that continued. You can take a look at, if you will, at the pathology of sin. It starts with sin, and then goes to death. It's a cycle. From sin to death, to fear, to slavery. Sin, death, fear, slavery. Who can break that cycle in your life? Only Jesus Christ. You see, that's what God's Word is talking about. Because he lives. And he says, because I live, you shall live also. I am the resurrection and the life. And even though he died, yet shall he live. That physical death. We're all going to face. But the second death, turn if you're there in Hebrews, turn if you will to Revelation. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 and 15. Maybe you're here for the first time, or maybe you're hearing it for the first time, a second death. You mean after I die once, I'm going to die a second time? Yeah. There's a real possibility you will. You don't have to die a second time. Okay. All right. I'll tell you, I'm Mr. Grace himself, aren't I? I can trip over a mic while it's on my ear. Revelation chapter 20, verses 14. And then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found in the written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. So, Bill, you're telling me that there are two deaths? No, I'm not telling you, but God's Word is telling you. There's a physical death that we have inherited from Adam and Eve because of the results of sin in our own lives. But also the second death, which is eternal death. But you and I don't have to face that. Jesus experienced both. He died physically on the cross for you and I. He bore your sins and my sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us when he bore our sins upon himself, that you and I might be made the righteous of God in him. And then Jesus, in that act of sacrifice for you and for me, he experienced eternal death. There on the cross when he was separated from the Father, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In that moment of time and eternity, he was separated from the Father. You see, that's what eternal death is. That's why it's referred to as a lake of fire. And as Revelation says, all those who are not found in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So come back, if you will, to John chapter 11, and we see that the solution to this is knowing Jesus Christ. I am the resurrection of life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Both the physical death and the eternal death is answered by Christ himself. That doesn't mean you and I won't die at physical death. But what it does mean, that to be absent from the body, like Alice Shelley, like Odd Christensen, just 4 days ago, when the Lord said, come on home, Alice. Come on home, Odd. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present. How can we say that? We can say that because God says it. You can say that because God says that to you if you believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be sad if every one of us here today celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ and acknowledging this profound declaration that He is the resurrection and the life, and we never come to know Him personally? That indeed we would face the physical death, but worst of all, we would face the eternal death, the second death. The provision is believing in Jesus Christ, for He is that provision. You ever hold up? If you ever heard that little ditty, born once, die twice. How many here were born once? If you don't raise your hand, I'll tell you. That's messed up. Okay. How many here were born once? Raise your hand. All right. Okay. Born once, die twice. But the gospel answer to that is born twice, die once. I know I'm going to die physically. But I know because of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the tomb, that He paid the price for my sins. Not anything I know. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can say the same thing. That the life that I now live, I live through Christ. The life that you now live, you live through Christ. The resurrection and life of you. But if you don't, how many here were born twice? Raise your hand. Then you have the absolute assurance, if this is true in your life, that you will only die once. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. You know, it's not rocket science to me. You know, I'm a simple kind of guy. The choice between the two is what? Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. Oh, I know what you're thinking. Because people have told me, well, Bill, it's so easy to just say, I believe in Jesus. I know it's so easy. Because I was there one time. I believe in Jesus. But a number of years after that, I really got serious about what it meant to believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you were there too. Maybe you raised your hand at a gospel camp. Maybe you raised your hand at church. Maybe whatever invitation. Or maybe you had that, that time where someone had counseled you and you said, yeah, I want to pray Jesus come into my heart. And you did that. And so when you're asked today, you're not just telling people what you think they want to hear, although they really want to hear that too, but you're telling them what you think may have happened. But you know, if you're not really sure, death is so serious, you need to be sure today. You need to be sure today. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He believes in me, even though he dies. Where is Jesus in your life? Pray with me. Father God, we thank you for so great a salvation. Lord, we realize it's nothing that any one of us could do. So simply trust and believe in your Son, Jesus Christ. Receive him into our lives. Father, my prayer together with my brothers and sisters in Christ here, in this place, at this moment, before your throne of grace, pray right now, Father, there be a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl, who does not know Jesus Christ, maybe know about him, but does not know him personally as a resurrection of the life for them. That they don't know that if you were to call them today, how they would stand before you. Saved or lost. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move upon their hearts, convincing them and convicting them sin and the truth of who Jesus is. Lord, draw them to yourself in prayer. May this resurrection day be truly a day of salvation for them. If you're here this morning and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and you're really not sure, oh, you've been to so many Easter services, that's all it's been, an Easter service or a Christmas service or whatever service, but you don't know Jesus, you can today. You can just simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And my sins have separated me from God. I know that you came into the world to pay the penalty for my sins. And to bring me back to God. I believe that you rose again from the dead. That you are the resurrection and life. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, come into my life. And be my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray.